This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 7th, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. In the new film, Undivide Us, director Christy Kendall walks viewers through the conversations that might not change too many minds in our divided times, but certainly have the potential to lower the temperature and keep us all from turning political disagreement into personal animosity. We spoke in January.
For those who engage in the shameful activity of watching broadcast or cable television, we are sort of told a story about how Americans engage with one another. And a key part of that story is the fact that everyone is awful and everyone is very angry and everybody hates each other. And we cannot engage in civil dialogue. And it's a very, an extreme challenge. And people who internalize that story then do not engage in civil dialogue. And so part of what I've enjoyed your movie, Undivide Us, and it sort of explores the fact that what if we actually just picked a bunch of random people and sat them down and, I mean, these are selected people, of course, but we sat them down and had them talk about what difficult, divisive issues, what might that look like and what would actually emerge. So this film that you've made sort of follows Ben Klutze of the Mercatus Center through some panels, focus groups, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And people through by asking sort of particular questions about, you know, going through this ideological Turing test.
Yeah.
You ask people, why do you think that this person believes what they do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we start with all these, the hardest topics. I mean, we were looking to be authentic in terms of how people really see these tough issues that are kind of the untouchable issues, you know, guns, immigration, abortion, the things that people are really scared to talk about. And so that's where we get in, you know, and I think that people are really surprised that they can have these conversations. And then, you know, and then as you follow the film, you know, they're excited.
And you were prepared for these conversations to not go well.
This is a true story, is going into the first one, we almost canceled, actually, because we were set to go to Atlanta. And they were having all these protests in Atlanta around policing. I don't know if you remember last year, there were huge protests against, what did they call it? Police City. Cop City. And they were firebombing. I mean, it was really, really scary. And the company called me. We had like an emergency meeting, you know, right before we were supposed to go down and start filming. And they were like, should we cancel? Do we need to hire security? Are people going to actually show up? And I just decided to just take a deep breath and be like, hey guys, let's just take the temperature down a little bit. I think we're maybe falling prey to some of the exact things that we're doing this program.
But we saw it on the news, Christy.
Right. We saw it on the news. Literally, people were like sending me articles like, have you seen this? Have you seen this? I mean, the anxiety is real, you know? And so we were experiencing that. But I just asked everybody to kind of take a deep breath. Let's see how this goes. And it was, I mean, when I say that, like, we were so surprised and so delighted at the, like, at how Americans can do this. And it's so hopeful and exciting, actually. You know, like when you have a theory, and then when you see it actually play out in real life, you're like, oh, this actually does work this way. You know, people don't want to be angry at their fellow citizens. Even people who really, I mean, one of the guys in the Atlantic group was a guy who is like very, very left, you know, like somebody asked me last night, they were like, was anybody kind of, you know, potentially, you know, in those fringy parts? I was like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't guarantee that they weren't. But I think when you tell people and when they have to look their fellow citizens in the eye It changes the temperature.
And that seems key. Like when we hide behind
social media,
Twitter and other ways of engaging, it's very easy to imagine that it's not a real human.
Yeah.
It's some sort of monstrous figure that is on the other side who, and you know, our minds can go to the worst places in terms of imagining what these people are truly like. But you sit down with people and most people are just, you know, normal people.
Yeah.
And actually confronting people physically is that you would hope would lower the temperature.
Right.
So what did you discover in the process that you were not expecting of having a bunch of people sit down and really just attempt to go through a lot of their views on difficult contemporary political issues?
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing that we discovered that we weren't actually expecting is that no one changes their mind about anything. Like when you sit down and you have a conversation, that is not going to be the place where then people are going to be like, oh, I see the light. You know, I suddenly understand this differently. Going into a conversation with the intent of convincing someone to come to your side is probably a fool's errand. However, when you have a conversation with someone, you can change your perspective about the person on the other side, about how you view the issue, about the humanity of your fellow citizen, which is actually a really, really important thing for us to stack hands on, you know, because that's kind of the bedrock of our democracy, is validating the citizenship and the incredibleness, you know, of each of us as a citizen of this country, you know.
And all of this is divorced in some way from the substance of those issues.
Yeah.
Right. That I have my principles, and of course they are inerringly correct, but the
of course.
for everyone else who does not have quite the firm grasp, the metaphysical certitude about where the way the world ought to be, you know, you're not changing minds, but it is extremely valuable that people understand that, oh, this person who disagrees with me is not, in fact, a monster.
Right. It changes the way you feel about the people on the other side. You know, and right now we're in a place where, and I hear this in my own life, I don't know if you do, where people will be like, oh, that person voted for that person, they are stupid, you know? And that's just a ridiculous thing to say, you know? I mean, like, even in our country, to just say, like, if you voted for this candidate, you're dumb, that's like calling, you know, 80 million Americans dumb. You know, that's probably not a real productive, like, path forward.
Well, and it's betrayed by actual conversation.
Yeah, totally.
So, one thing you noted, that people don't change their minds, and you illustrate this in the film, which is, they ask everyone, who changed their minds here on any of these issues? And as far as I could tell from what you presented, nobody did.
Right.
On any of the issues.
No. People don't change their minds.
And so Tony Woodleaf, State Policy Network, sort of walks us through, you know, the natural reaction that people have to what they see in the media, and then how that informs their engagement with their fellow human beings. And coming to the realization that, broadly speaking, most of the people I'm going to interact with, not monsters, not going to punch me in the face, not, you know, these awful, awful people, that in fact, it is a fairly small percentage, but that nonetheless is a critical mass given the media landscape and how those people can be presented on our television.
Yeah. Well, and the byproduct of that is the real threat, right? Like, which is the centralization of power to Washington, D.C., to the people who are fomenting that anger, and because it has this silencing effect on the rest of us. And it robs us of feeling like we can be agents within our own community. You know, I'm a pretty polite person. I don't want to speak up or be active in my community if I think people are going to scream at me, you know? And I might have that very rational belief watching the media. And so I'm basically ceding my power out of this, like, sense of politeness and a misperception of what's actually going on. And that's part of why we made the film, actually, because I wanted people to feel like they could reclaim some of their agency on a local level.
There are some, and Ben goes through some of this, and we had an event at the Cato Institute. We're recording this the day after that event. We walked through some of the incentives that people face, you know, trying to live their lives, earn a living, take care of their kids, and plan for their own continued existence. And those incentives are difficult to overcome, and they don't seem, it doesn't seem like they're going anywhere.
Yeah.
And that is, for, at least from my perspective, one is it is very easy to disengage, and it's easier than ever to disengage. And to the extent that we are relatively wealthy, when we Americans are privileged in that regard, it's very easy to, as I said during our event last night, it would be easy for me to just sit down and say, I think I'm going to watch the entire run of 30 Rock for the fourth time, instead of having people over to dinner or using human engagement as entertainment.
Yeah.
And in-person human engagement as a source of entertainment. And by virtue of making those easy decisions, it's 30 Rock's dependably a very good show in my,
listen,
in my humble opinion.
Listen, I'm not going to knock
30
Rock.
In my humble opinion. But there's very little to be learned there. There's not a lot of cultivation of compassion or understanding that I can get through that.
Right.
At least not compared with actually physically engaging with people. And so the incentive effects are very real, very challenging. And the path forward is just to have more of it. And for every individual to make a decision about, oh, I need to understand better whether or not it is true what I see on the news about how horrible everyone is.
Yeah, I mean, I think the path forward is yes. Yes, and, you know, engage, maybe have a little more faith in civil engagement with the people around you locally. And also, in the like, as the film illustrates, we do kind of give you this technique that you can use. You're calling it the Turing test, just to clarify. It's like saying, okay, this person thinks the opposite as I do. Why do they think that way? And kind of being able to articulate that and talk about that in a way that is not not all about, oh wait, here's my response. Here's where I'm going to get you. Here's why you're wrong. Instead, think, okay, why could a reasonable human being actually think that? Now, that doesn't mean that that is what I believe, but I can at least put myself in their position and be like, okay, I'm a compassionate human. I could see this is why I might feel this way. And it actually is a way of reclaiming your power against the state, in my opinion. It's a way of saying, I am going to be the judge of this. I'm not going to let someone else tell me what I should believe about this human being over here. And I mean, that's what I'm asking people to do.
So I asked the question last night, but I'll ask it again. Kill your television?
I'm not an absolutist about anything like that. I'm never going to say something like that. It's like technology. Is technology the evil? You know, no, technology is amazing too, right? I think it's around consciousness. Like, are you a conscious consumer of the media that comes into your home, that is going into your brain, that is affecting, you know, your whole being? Are you a thoughtful consumer of those things? And then how do you incorporate that into your broader life, right? Of like going to church or temple or soccer games or hosting dinner parties or going to the potluck or, you know, doing all the things that actually make up this beautiful American thing called life, you know?
And the one of the points that Tony Woodleaf makes that I think really is well taken by this audience in particular is that totalitarian societies are orderly.
Oh, sure.
In at least visually.
Yeah.
And freedom's messy. It's ugly. And freedom imposes upon us certain responsibilities.
Yeah. And freedom is like worth it. So it's like, let's not give up.
Christy Kendall is director of the new film Undivide Us. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily podcast wherever you please. And thank you for listening.